from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Gary Zier, Remax Elite, and Geno's East.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. I'm your host, Ryan Porth, here with you on another Monday evening here in Smashville, Tennessee, talking all things NHL, all things Preds. And tonight I am joined by my good buddy Chase McCabe of Darren Donick and Chase. You also hear Chase on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Chase, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing well. I miss that Nashville Predators Radio Network. It has been a long time, way too long, since I have been on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. So I'm ready to get that going again.
Well, hopefully sooner rather than later, we can get you back on and everybody else back on the Nashville Predators Radio Network.
Yeah, that would be nice. Let's get rid of this virus and just hurry this process along.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of the virus, there was an outbreak within the Tampa Bay Lightning facility that was reported on Friday. Bob McKenzie was the first one to put it out there that a team had an outbreak, and then it came out within just a matter of minutes that it was the Tampa Bay Lightning facility that experienced the outbreak. And that outbreak included three players and additional staffers testing positive for coronavirus. The Tampa Bay Lightning have closed their facility temporarily due to this outbreak. A total of 11 players out of 200 tests across the NHL on Friday tested positive for COVID-19. And Chase, I don't think this wrecks the July 10th timeline for phase three to start, which would include full training camps with the teams, mandatory that all the players are in town and participating in those practices. But it is a concern, not only with the Tampa Bay Lightning, but across the NHL, across sports as a whole, with teams trying to ease their way back into shape, that we're getting some positive tests from a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I don't think it really slows things down necessarily. I mean, because we knew that there were going to be some positive tests. That was just something that was going to be inevitable, unavoidable, however you want to put it, that there were going to be players, there were going to be personnel that tested positive. However, it does create a little bit of concern because, all right, it's Tampa, so Tampa shuts down their facility. But does that mean that, you know, here soon you're going to have another team that has to do the same thing and then another team? We just don't know how big this is going to be. So when you look at that July 10th start date for training camp for phase three for the NHL, you still are going, okay, probably going to have it. It's going to be good. But if all of a sudden a week from now you're starting Preds Insiders by talking about three more teams that have had to shut down because of this, then you get even more concerned. So it's definitely something you don't want to ignore. It's something that you just want to pay attention to and monitor. And if you're a team that right now everything looks good, you just have to stay the course, keep it in the back of your head, but try, as difficult as it is, to focus on hockey.
Yeah, and look, it's not like every team has their facilities being used right now. You know, the state of Florida has widely been reopening sooner than many other states. And the state of Florida had over 3,800 positive tests confirmed on Friday, which is an alarming number for that state. And you look at other sports like the Philadelphia Phillies and Major League Baseball, they had to close their spring training facility on Friday as well because there was an outbreak within staffers with the Phillies. So something that we have to monitor and keep a close eye on. Obviously, these leagues know a lot more about COVID than they did back on March 12th when the sports world shut down after one positive test with Rudy Gobert in the NBA. So
yeah, we all know a lot more about COVID since then.
Yes, we do. And it doesn't seem as alarming if someone does have a positive test. Obviously, you want to make sure that individual doesn't have the underlying health conditions that could make it worse than what a lot of people have experienced from COVID. But I feel like we feel, as a society, we feel okay if the numbers don't skyrocket. And right now, they're not skyrocketing. They're spiking because there's more tests. States are opening up, including states in which some of these NHL facilities are reopening as well. It's just a matter of making sure that they don't skyrocket to epic proportions and it leads to, you know, a spike in deaths as well. So,
right,
something to monitor. I agree. I don't think this truly affects July 10th yet. But if we, like you said, if we have a couple more teams here in the next few days that come out and say that they have players testing positive, they have to close down their facilities, then I think it would be inevitable at that point that July 10th gets pushed back.
Yeah, because as you just said and we both have pointed out, I mean, it's all about how many players, how many coaches, how many, you know, people that work for the team are testing positive, and how are those numbers, you know, what are they going to look like? Are they going to go up? Are they going to skyrocket, like you just said? That's the question we just don't know right now. But I think, you know, as Nashville enters phase three today, that's just something that you have to be weary, or not weary, but conscious of. You have to pay attention to and just be careful. And that's going to be up to societies. That's going to be up to these players. I mean, I know that the NHL has put protocols in place to try and help them, but at the end of the day, you know that there's going to be some that somebody brings it in, they get in contact with somebody, and they get this thing. So I just want to see how each individual team handles it. I want to see how the league continues to handle it, and the players themselves. But it is a little concerning, but just something to watch.
Well, it's not like COVID went away in the last 3 months as we've all been quarantined.
Yeah, and it's not going to.
Right.
We're at that stage now where we're learning to live with it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So if the NHL does come back in late July, the Nashville Predators would be facing the Arizona Coyotes in a best of five in the qualifying round to make it to the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Preds would be the sixth seed in the West, Arizona the 11th seed in the 24-team return to play format. And when that does happen, I feel like we're both on the same page of a certain individual on this Predators team that would be highly motivated when that happens. And that player joined me last week on Preds Insiders, Ryan Johansson. And this is a discussion, Chase, that we've had numerous times on the Rundown, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game, that Ryan Johansson is one of a handful of Preds players that we feel would benefit from this season pause and a virtual offseason right in the middle of their regular season. And here was Ryan Johansson's answer to me saying, or asking him last week, whether or not he ever goes back and wonders where's the real Ryan Johansson, whether or not the real Ryan Johansson will show up once they start playing Arizona.
That's the thing I'm excited about, is that I'm going right into the postseason. That's where I've always played my best hockey, and you know, I know I'm going to be ready, and you know, I have my chance here to shut up the haters from the year, you know. And so for now, I'm just kidding. But for me, it's a great opportunity. Coach has just come in, Coach Hines, and he hasn't seen my consistent best, and you know, my team counts on me, and I need to be there, and I need to show up and make sure I'm at the top of my game to help our group be successful. So really, really, really exciting time just for myself as an individual, and being able to come out of the gates hot and do my thing.
That was Ryan Johansson last Monday on this very program as he joined me on Preds Insiders. And Chase, when you hear Ryan Johansson say that, and you know, he also mentioned at another portion in the interview that this is going to act like a reset button and a well-timed reset button for this Predators team. But Ryan Johansson is someone that vastly underperformed in the regular season pre-pause, and someone that has performed very well in past postseasons. And essentially, even though it wouldn't officially be the playoffs against Arizona, it would feel like the playoffs for sure. And if they get a game Ryan Johansson, that can only do wonders for them as they look to advance beyond the qualifying round and into the playoffs once again.
Yeah, and bear with me on my story here, but I've you know, obviously with a lot of downtime, you play some video games. So I've played the NHL 20 video game a little bit, doing a franchise, and Ryan Johansson has been lights out. And I bring that up to say that that's what we all hope he will be in real life. That's the guy that you listen to that interview, and a great interview by you that you did last week on Preds Insiders. You listen to some of the things that he has said over the last few months, whether it's on a Zoom call or doing an interview in The Athletic with Joe Rexroad. I mean, he's saying all the right things, but you hear the tone in his voice, and you can tell there's something different. There's a motivation with him to get him back to not necessarily the goal scorer that we saw in Columbus, but get him to the point where he can be that guy for the Nashville Predators like he was last year, like he was the year before. I mean, the assist master, that's where you've really seen the dip. His goals are actually about the same that he's had the last few years. It's the assists, it's setting up plays that he's been able to do. The Jofa line hasn't worked this season like it has in the past, and I believe that is really because of Ryan Johansson. Victor Arvidsson has had a tough time too. We all know that. He's admitted that, but Ryan Johansson finding his game is going to be huge in that series against Arizona, and I truly believe that he's going to come back and be dangerous and be better than ever.
They don't need Ryan Johansson to be goal scorer. They need him to be the number one center on this
exactly
team. And they're paying $8 million to somebody who was on pace for 27 assists over an 82-game season if they had finished the regular season. And 27 assists and only 30-some-odd points is not nearly good enough to be considered not just a number one center, but a number two center either. Like, Matt Duchene can step up as well. Those two, I think there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on Johansson and Duchene once that qualifying round comes around.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and Duchene is somebody that we haven't talked about a lot, but I think we would all agree with the money that he signed for and what you expected out of him hasn't really lived up to it as of yet. So I'm curious to see what the break did for him. You know, when you answer the question of who benefited the most from the layoff, we all say Johansson, Arvidsson, and Pekarinen, but I certainly would put Matt Duchene in that category as well.
Coming up next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Friday, I made some NHL predictions on Darren Donick nor Chase, and we're going to get Chase's reaction to those predictions coming up next here on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Preds Insiders brought to you every week by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Carrie Zier, Remax Elite, Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford, and Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard in downtown Nashville. Ryan Porth alongside Chase McCabe this evening. Chase McCabe, a part of Darren Donick and Chase weekdays 10 to 2. This week, he's a part of Jared and the GM, 2 to 6, filling in for Jared as he is on his summer vacation. And
Chase and the GM.
Yeah, Chase and Floyd. Chase and the GM should be a lot of fun all week long. And you were out on Friday. I was in, filling in for you, Darren, and Willie, alongside Marquise. It was me and Marquise and Elijah Campbell behind the glass on Friday. And Marquise and I had a lot of fun going through some predictions for these return-to-play formats. Marquise, the big basketball guy, he gave his NBA predictions. And myself, big NHL guy, I gave my NHL predictions for the return-to-play and what the postseason would pan out if the league does come back and complete this return to play format. And Chase, I wanted to get your thoughts on my predictions for the NHL. I went series by series, including the qualifying round on Friday, and I want to get your thoughts.
Okay.
So let's start with the qualifying round in the Western Conference. I've got Flames over Jets in the 8-9 matchup, Flames over Jets in 4. I've got Oilers over Blackhawks in 4, the 5 versus 12. In the 6 versus 11, I've got Nashville over Arizona in 5, and then Vancouver over Minnesota in 3.
All right, so I'll start with that one. I completely agree. I'm just not a believer in Minnesota. I think Minnesota, is, even though they're, you know, they're there, they're going to be a part of it. They've had a break like everybody else. I'm bullish on Vancouver. So I like Vancouver, and I agree with that prediction. Now, the first one you said that Calgary would beat Winnipeg in
four.
Four?
Yep.
What was your reasoning there?
I'm not a big fan of the current Winnipeg Jets, of what that team looks like with no Dustin Byfuglien, all the offseason losses that they had going into this past regular season. They were never really clicking. The Flames took a little bit of a step back as well. You know, if you remember, they won the division last season and got upset in the first round by Colorado, and Calgary was just kind of hanging around in the playoff picture. You'll see a theme in this throughout of I kind of feel like at the end of the day, when you take out intangibles like travel and home ice advantage, that talent, sheer talent on rosters is going to make a difference. Maybe more so than in past postseasons when you might have more intangibles involved. But, I mean, mostly everybody's going to be healthy going into this this format. So you don't have pre-existing injuries standing in the way for some teams. So just man for man, I like Calgary's roster over Winnipeg. I like their depth over Winnipeg's depth. Winnipeg's depth is very young, and whatever the Jets may offer in Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, the Flames can match with Sean Monahan, Elias Lindholm, and Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, I don't think you're far off with that. Calgary is one of those teams that I wasn't always able to believe in, even last year, and I turned out to be right, you know, once they got knocked out. But while they have lost a little bit, I think that they've gelled better. I think that there is more a cohesive unit. And Winnipeg would usually be a team that I would say, yeah, watch out for them. They're legit. But you just made all the points of that. What they have lost has hurt them. Byfuglien not being there has hurt them. And they don't seem like that cohesive unit that they have been in the past. So I don't think you're far off with that prediction.
So I've got Flames over Jets in four, Edmonton over Chicago in four. I know Chicago for you is a sleeper. I'm not there yet. Nashville over Arizona in five. I don't think that's going to be an easy best of five by any means for the Preds, because they always struggle with the Coyotes.
Yeah, they do. And I can't explain why. That's one of those, especially when Peter Laviolette was here as the head coach, that's one of those anomalies that you can never explain. But at the same time, with the two matchups they had earlier in the year, I don't really know how much you can take from those, because one, there was no Taylor Hall. The second one, I think Taylor Hall had been there for
about a week.
Yeah. So you can't really gauge that. Obviously, Peter Laviolette was the head coach for the Predators. John Hines now is. So that's different. So I think you just have to clear the deck and see what happens. With that said, I think it's going to be a hard-fought series, because Taylor Hall has had some time to adjust. So you have him that you have to worry about. Kessel as well, being with them, he's had some time. So I think it'll be a fun matchup because of the things that we said in the first segment with Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, if they're better. But I'll say this, having two starting goaltenders on this roster for the Nashville Predators, I think is going to come into play. Don't know exactly how that's going to play out, but I think both of them could factor in those five.
Arizona could say the same about Darcy Kuemper and Antti Raanta.
Yeah, they could. And I think that's what's going to separate some teams from, you know, the teams that are going to advance from the ones that aren't, because, you know, who knows how this schedule is going to be. They may determine, yeah, look, we're going to have to do back-to-back games, which is – that doesn't happen in the playoffs, but we may have to do that. That's where having two starting caliber goaltenders is really going to come into play for you.
So that's my first round, or I should say the qualifying round predictions in the West. Now to the first round in the West. I've got St. Louis over Calgary in six. I've got Edmonton over Dallas in five. Got Nashville over Vegas in seven. And Colorado over Vancouver in four. And this was all done with the assumption that the 1-4 in both the West and the East would stay status quo. They can be altered due to their round robin, but this was all based on if or assuming that 1-4, it stays status quo.
Hmm. Colorado and 4, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sweeping Vancouver.
Now, I like Colorado. Don't get me wrong. I like Colorado a lot, but I just said earlier in the segment that I'm bullish on Vancouver. I feel like Colorado pulls out of that, but I think it's going to be a little closer than 4.
Okay.
I'd say closer to 6. That's kind of where I think that one goes. Vancouver to me feels like that they're maybe a year off. They're a year away. And if this season had continued, you know, completed the way that it was supposed to, it could have been different, but I think they're probably a year off from really making some noise. But okay, so I like that. Nashville going 7 rounds with Vegas could be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah, I think that could be it will be fun to watch.
and think of it like this. Vegas would basically be in their home barn, but they wouldn't have home ice advantage, because there would be no such thing as home ice advantage with right. No fans in the stands.
Right. So, I mean, the only advantage they have is, you know, we've talked about this, is they know the ice, they know the rink, they know how the boards respond.
Sure.
Things like that, which you do have to factor that in, but that one, I hope that happens, because that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be.
So through the play-in round and then the first round, you have the Preds going the distance with both of those.
In both, correct.
Okay.
And then
what were the other two that you gave?
Edmonton over Dallas in 5.
Yep.
And St. Louis over Calgary in 6.
Okay. I can see that. So St. Louis has had they've been very consistent this year. So if they can keep that up, if the break didn't hurt them, then I would say that's probably doable.
So for those listening, that sets up Edmonton versus St. Louis and Colorado versus Nashville in the second round in the Western Conference playoffs. Okay. And I've got Edmonton over St. Louis in 6, Colorado over Nashville in 5.
As much as it pains me to say it, I agree with that. I just think, based on what we have seen this season, which is the only sample size we have, that's the only thing we have to go on, this could obviously change when all this starts, Colorado is the better team. And Colorado is a team that we have watched from that playoff matchup with the Predators a few years ago. They have taken a lot of young talent, put it together, it has gelled, and they have built that team into what they are. And so I'm not surprised by that prediction at all.
I just don't think Colorado's a good matchup for Nashville.
No, I don't think so either.
I just don't. And then Edmonton over St. Louis in 6.
Now, that one's interesting. Edmonton is another one of those teams that I know the talent's there. I mean, they have two of the best players in the NHL right now on their roster. But I haven't been – they've done nothing for you to be able to trust them in the playoffs the last few years. They're going to have to get over that, and they're going to have to convince people that they are for real, and then knocking off the defending Stanley Cup champions. So that one I'm intrigued by too.
I'm big on Edmonton in this.
I can tell.
You know, they've got the best player in the league, and they've also got the MVP of the league with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of talent on that team. So I'm kind of going off talent in this, because you have to take out a lot of intangibles within this format. At least you would expect. You can take out a lot of the intangibles that you would normally have in a postseason setting, and that would set up the Western Conference Final, Colorado over Edmonton in 6.
So you have Colorado going to the Stanley Cup Final. Out of the West,
I do.
I would definitely take Colorado in that matchup.
Who would you take out of the West?
That's what I'm saying, Colorado.
No, like even within your own bracket, you would take Colorado to go to the Cup final.
Yeah, I would.
Okay, all right. Now quickly through the Eastern Conference in the qualifying round, I've got Toronto over Columbus in 4 in the 8-9.
Okay.
I've got Pittsburgh over Montreal in 5. In the 5-12, yep. I've got Florida over New York in 4, the New York Islanders. And I've got in the biggest upset of the qualifying round, the New York Rangers over the Carolina Hurricanes in 4.
Hmm. I think that's interesting. That's good.
Because kind of like the NCAA tournament, I think there's going to be at least one team that wins in that qualifying round that if the regular season had gone on without COVID, and we all know that they probably would not have made the playoffs, I think there is going to be a team that makes it to the playoffs out of the qualifying round that we all sat back in May when they came out with this format and said, that team doesn't deserve to be in this format. And I think the New York Rangers are definitely one of those teams that people pointed towards. And they have enough talent on that team to take down a Carolina squad that is has always been very Jekyll and Hyde, and they also didn't want this format. They did not want to allow the New York Rangers into this format. And I think the Rangers are going to use that as a little bit of bulletin board material.
Yeah. No, I think they are too. And I think that's a good prediction. The other one that I thought was interesting is even though you had Pittsburgh winning, it would take them 5 games. That to me, that's the Carey Price factor right there.
100%.
And like Carey Price can, I don't know if he can steal you a series, but he can steal you a game or two.
Sure.
And that I think is what's going to happen.
For sure. So those are my qualifying round predictions in the Eastern Conference. So this sets up in round 2, Boston versus the New York Rangers after the reseeding, Boston against the Rangers, Tampa Bay versus Florida, Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh, and Washington versus Toronto. Okay?
Okay.
Bruins over Rangers in 6, Lightning over Panthers in 7, Penguins over Flyers in 6, Maple Leafs over Capitals in 6.
You got some rivalry games in that too.
Oh yeah. Boston versus New York, the battle for Florida, the battle for Pennsylvania, and then Toronto and Washington have met each other in the playoffs here recently.
I'm going to tell you this. If that plays out the way that you have predicted, I'm going to be at a sports bar every night watching those matchups because that's going to be fun.
Totally. Well, I don't know if you need to be at a sports bar. You might be able to just watch triple headers all day.
No, that's true. That's true. I have beer here.
Yeah, absolutely. That sets up in round 2, Boston versus Toronto and Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh. And I'm going Bruins over Leafs in 7 and Lightning over Penguins in 5.
So what I'm getting out of this is you kind of believe in Pittsburgh, but then you kind of feel like they're going to sputter out once they get up against, you know, really, really good competition.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Boston over Toronto in 7, like they normally go 7 games. And
naturally.
Yep. That sets up Tampa Bay versus Boston in the Eastern Conference Final and give me Tampa over Boston in 5.
So the revenge tour is complete for Tampa, as they are in the Western Conference Final and then go, or the Eastern Conference Final, and then they go to the Cup Final.
Colorado versus Tampa Bay in the Stanley Cup Final, which at the end of the day could have been my Stanley Cup Final prediction pre-playoffs with no COVID.
Sure.
And I've got Colorado winning the Stanley Cup Final.
In how many games?
In 7.
7 games.
The Conn Smythe to Nathan MacKinnon.
I can't really argue with you on that, my man. It's not a bad prediction because Colorado is a team that I have been feeling all season long, really since I saw them up close and personal a few years ago. Like, hey, they're a few years away, but they're going to be there. And Tampa, just shy. I like it. That's good. None of that's going to happen. You know that.
Oh, but,
I like it.
You can take my qualifying round predictions and reverse them, and that's probably what's going to happen. Winnipeg and Chicago are probably going to win in the qualifying round. The Preds will probably lose in like 3 games to Arizona. And then Carolina is just going to sweep New York and take my upset prediction back behind the woodshed. So
right.
But those,
I hope you keep up with those, though.
Those are my 1 month out or maybe 5 weeks out predictions for the NHL playoffs.
I like it. keep those near the your desk so you can keep up with them as these games happen.
I'm going to probably discard them after this show so that I don't have to be reminded of them in August. But we will have audio to back anything up.
I was about to say, I'm going to have to go back and pull this audio.
Yep, for sure. Coming up next, Adam Vingan had an interesting story at The Athletic about the 2021 expansion draft and who the Preds might lose to Seattle in said expansion draft. We'll get to that coming up next. He's Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth here with you alongside Chase McCabe on this Monday evening, talking all things Preds and all things NHL as we inch closer and closer to actually having hockey on ice. Hopefully the health trends can continue to go the way of the NHL and we can get to phase three by July 10th and we can have the return to play format starting around the 1st of August. But Chase, Adam Vingan at The Athletic, always doing yeoman's work at The Athletic. Adam last week put out his way too early look at the Predators' strategies or potential strategies for the 2021 expansion draft with Seattle. And who knows what the calendar is going to look like in the calendar year of 2021, but under a normal calendar, it would be right around this time next year that the expansion draft would take place. This is around the time when the expansion draft took place for Vegas when they took James Neal from the Nashville Predators. So Adam Vingan has come out with this story, and he's given a couple options, and I want us to react to these options that he has thrown out there for the Nashville Predators. Option one, and as you all know, the options for each GM in the NHL is going to be the exact same as it was going into the expansion draft with Vegas, where you can either keep eight skaters and one goaltender, or you can keep seven forwards, three defensemen, and one goaltender. So for option one, Chase, it was eight skaters, one goaltender, and Adam picks Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Fabro as four defensemen for the eight skaters, and then Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, Duchesne, plus UC Saros as the eight skaters and one goaltender option for David Poile come next year in the expansion draft for Seattle.
Correct. Yep. And I feel like that's where they're going to go. I know you're going to read option two in just a second, but I do feel like they're going to do similar to what they did last time. They'll keep the top four defensemen, Dante Fabro now a part of that, and then Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, Duchesne, Saros, because Pekarinen, his contract will be up at that point. So that's kind of how I feel, but I'll let you read option two as well.
So option two is the seven forwards, three D-men, one goaltender. And this is when it gets interesting. The seven forwards that Adam has being saved are Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, Duchesne, Colton Sissons, Kalle Yarncroak, and then either Craig Smith or Mikael Granlund if one of them resigns here in this upcoming offseason, whenever they may be. The three defensemen would be Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, and Dante Fabro. No Matthias Ekholm. And then the one goaltender would be UC Saros. Very interesting strategy there from Adam Vingan, who says, quote, Ekholm's $3.75 million cap hit is one of the best values in the league, but with defense partners Josi and Ellis signed to big money contracts for close to the next decade, the Preds might not have room to extend Ekholm, who is on track to earn a considerable raise.
That I agree with, but I think if it's just me making this way too early prediction, I swap Ellis and Ekholm out, because I think that Matthias Ekholm continues to be one of the most underrated defensemen in the league and underrated defensemen on this team, underrated players on this team. And I understand the financial concerns, but I feel like that this could be a situation where David Poile figures it out and Ekholm replaces Ellis. Now, with all that said, that means that you know, in both of these options, Kyle Turris is exposed. This is where I wonder if Wieland Dieland David Poile gets in, you know, talks to Seattle and says, hey, I'll give you a prospect or another player if you agree to take Turris's contract. I do think that that could come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Agree or disagree?
Agree, but here's the thing. What would you have to give up for Seattle to take that cap hit? Because as Adam Finkin points out in this story as well, is that it's hard to guess right now where the salary cap would be for Seattle entering the 21-22 season. And they may be looking for more cost-effective players and not be as willing as maybe Vegas was as taking on bigger contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that could be on the table, but I could also see Seattle saying, you know what, we don't want any part of that contract. We'll take Colton Sissons or we'll take Callie Yarncroak.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Colton Sissons or Callie Yarncroak are going to be, you know, very attractive to a team like Seattle, just like you just said. I do find it interesting in option two how he mentions Craig Smith, Mikhail Granlund, because you just wonder, will one of them, I don't see a scenario where they're both back, especially knowing that you're going to have to address Matthias Ekholm at some point. You know, will one of them be back next year? So that makes it a little cloudier to try and predict things, because if both of them are gone, then that changes your whole strategy. But it is an interesting exercise and a fun one to do right now.
And there is probably a question from some of the listeners right now of, well, what about Eli Tolvanen? What about one of the top prospects for the Preds? Would he have to be factored into this for Seattle? And Adam Finkin confirmed through the Predators Hockey Operations Department for this story that Tolvanen, Philip Tomasino, Igor Afanasyev, and Jeremy Davies are all notable prospects that are exempt from the expansion draft. So that is important to note.
Yep.
I would probably go the 8 skaters, 1 goalie again.
That's probably what I would do.
And keep Yossi, Ellis, Ekholm, and Fabbro. And keep those four together as the defense trio, or foursome, I should say. And then Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, Duchesne. Try to twist their arm on Kyle Turris, but I don't think Seattle would go for that. I think Seattle would like Colton Sissons' contract, who's currently on a 7-year, $20 million deal. So a cap hit of less than $3 million for someone who can be your third-line center from day one, I think that would be pretty attractive for Seattle.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's why, you know, David Poile went with that contract and gave him that type of extension when he did, you know, obviously wanting him here, but knowing that that could definitely factor in somewhere down the road, that, you know, Yarncroak's contract is attractive, so is Colton Sissons, for Seattle to take. So I will find that to be an interesting storyline to watch over the next year.
Absolutely, and I should also note that Connor Ingram will be eligible to be chosen by Seattle. So an up-and-coming prospect for the Preds between the pipes. I know a lot of people who have been in Milwaukee have enjoyed watching Connor Ingram this past season, that he might be something at the NHL level eventually. So that could be an interesting play by Seattle if they're looking for their backup goalie through this. Maybe take Connor Ingram, who would be very cheap at that point, and go a different direction with some other teams and get their forwards or defensemen there. But
sure.
We are out of time for Preds Insiders. Chase, thank you so much, as always, for joining me here on this program.
Thanks for having me, bud.
For Chase McCabe, I'm Ryan Porth. Thank you for listening to Preds Insiders this week. We will be back with you on Monday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.